Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go.
Hello, welcome back, Fairway Fit fans. Season 2, Episode 3, Episode 28 over all of our seasons, and we are here to recap the cup. All right, we are excited. It's been
three days.
Had to get back to the grind the last 2 days. I know I've been pretty tired. What about you?
I mean, not so much tired. I actually, like, I went to bed really early on Sunday after the long drive home, and then basically kind of right back to it. I think I was up until like 2:30 in the morning on Monday, and then was up kind of late last night too, and then just kind of went back to my normal sleep schedule.
Yeah, I don't know about me. I have put in about 15 miles running since I've been back, so I don't know if it hit me a little bit when I got home from work today, but.
Probably rehydrating still. I'm still rehydrating a little bit.
It was a lot of extra activities down there, but man, can't be more happy about everything that we were able to do. But before we talk about the cup, you know, those that listen to us and watch us on YouTube over the last couple episodes, we're really trying to focus in on getting a little bit more intentional in our golf, and we want to be a little bit more intentional with practice. And I know since the last time we talked, we probably haven't had a lot of time to practice just because we were on our trip for about 4 days or 5 days. But Greg, fill me in. We have 1 month until Jim's Cup. And the challenge I gave you was to kind of detail a practice type schedule. What have you been doing? Have you been working on that?
This week, absolutely not. Week before Fairway Fit Cup, I got in two range sessions. I had two putting sessions in my garage, and then I had some click stick sessions in the weight room in between classes, and on planning periods. But this week, I have actually done nothing but kind of fiddle in the garage with the grip change that I was told about. I haven't actually swung and hit a ball with it. I haven't even really fully swung with it. I've just kind of been kind of getting into positions and seeing, double checking where the club face is and whatnot. Feels very different, but at the same time, you know, sometimes different is good. If that's something that's missing in my game, then, and it would fix a lot of errors, then maybe it's a good change.
Yeah, remember though, our plan is not just, obviously the execution part is, you know, inevitably what we're trying to get to, but I like to think it's more of the intentionality of putting down that plan for the week.
Oh yeah, I mean, like my range sessions leading up until to Fairway Fit Cup was basically, I had one day where I just hit hybrid 3-wood and driver. I had another day where it was just, you know, I kind of had to mix in 2 days. I wanted to spread it out to three, but it just didn't work out. But I just hit wedges and up to 9 irons. And then another day I was just going to hit mid irons. But, you know, stuff happens, life happens. And I missed the third day. The third day, I day in between day one and day two. So I kind of just smacked them together day one and day two.
Yeah, I know on my side, you kind of challenged me a little bit more to get focused on that weight room. And what I've been doing since we've been back, this week I have been doing quite a bit in there, but I'm trying to come up with what I'm going to do. And so I think, you know me from like a lot of my running and stuff, I kind of have to have that carrot way dangled out in front of me. So what I'm doing right now is I'm looking at Gents Cup, which is just over or right out of month, I think. Today we are a month away from traveling, maybe a month and a day from traveling down there. So what I'm trying to do is set my weight room player to obviously when I'm in the building and have that access, and I will be traveling 1 week just like yourself as well. So I'm trying to write that down this week. So my guess, my scheduling and my planning hasn't necessarily been
Does your pop's place have a weight room?
I'm hoping the place we're staying at has a weight
room. Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're staying out there because that's one of the rough weeks that.
I luck out. My mom's place has a pretty darn good weight room. Got a sauna, got a steam room, it's got a stretch room. It's got everything there.
I like to think where we're going. I haven't quite looked at it yet, but that kind of added that in. So what I'm doing really this week is writing down like kind of like a 4-week plan, you know, to try to get to that where I'm going in there as peak as I have. I actually felt really good this past week. I guess what do they say when you've lost a little bit of weight, obviously the people around you notice, and then even when it gets higher, people that maybe you work with, you see, but you don't always talk to every day, start to notice. And so I think that's kind of where a couple people have noticed. So that's always been a positive. So kind of set myself up for the next month. So if you're doing that schedule thing or you've got ideas for the weight room, definitely throw them my way. I'm looking for something about 4 weeks.
I definitely give you a plan.
Yeah, keeping the explosiveness in the mobility in there. And again, I try to keep to that 25-40 minute mark. I don't really go much more than that. I did do some longer runs. I know I ran pretty far on Monday just because I felt like I had to get some stuff out of me, sweat it out a little bit.
Did you throw the trash bags and the sauna suit on just to get that extra little drip out?
Yeah. Yesterday morning, I did another longer run, and then today I dialed it back, and I'm still trying to keep my mileage. I don't need to do high mileage. I like to get out there in the morning. I mean, I love hitting that 12,000 step number by like 9 o'clock in the morning. It's just, I feel good. I feel good the rest of the day. Today I got tired, came home and kind of got a little bit lazy. But I still got a plan, and that's kind of what we're going through. We know we're not going to be perfect every week. Anyway, I obviously coming back from our long trip, we knew this week was going to be a little bit tougher. So, let's get it down on paper. I know I shared with you a couple ebooks from what I've been trying to work off and trying to get some practice plan stuff as well too. So as we gather info,
we could always use the Coach Boone speech. Now you drop a ball, you run a mile. You fumble the football, you run a mile. You jump off sides and be like, all right, you shank a ball, you run a mile.
If it was after every golf ball we lost,
you toe hook one.
We'd be running a lot of miles.
Yeah, I mean, so I'd be running a marathon after every day.
Yeah, it would be tough. I did see a guy, I don't know what social media, that he plays around the golf for how many strokes over par he runs.
Fur sent us that one.
Fur sent us that one and challenged us to it.
I think he did it when I was sitting at like an 18 or something like that. I was like, I don't know if I want to be running 22 miles after a round of golf.
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of. Should it just be 9 holes, maybe.
Maybe 9 holes. Maybe I'll squeak in like a 7-8.
But yeah, so I know that one would be pretty tough to do. I just don't know if I have enough time in the day to do that. I'd be running probably just as long as I'd be playing golf. So, but man, let's recap the trip. I mean, we went down to Myrtle. We were down there for four nights overall. I know the first night we both were kind of at other places. I saw my dad and saw your mom, and then we were able to get back together, stayed in the condo, played a lot of golf.
Six rounds in 4 days.
Six rounds, 4 days. We went 18, 36, 36, 18. All right, if that's about right with the math, so. We were able to get a warm-up round. I think 7 of our 8 Fairway Fit cuppers, my dad and then Billy's oldest son, was able to meet us up at the Barefoot Fazio course.
Nice course, too. I mean, the best thing about this trip is I played 6 courses I've never played before.
Yeah, and I mean, you could do that in Myrtle, but easily. The thing about the Barefoot courses, and I know my dad always, he loves talking about the dive, but I never have any issues going back and playing those 3 courses that are hooked together, the Fazio, Norman, and Love. And, you know, they all are a little bit different, and I will say it was in really, really good shape.
Yeah.
I mean, it was still had that kind of dead Bermuda off the fairways because I don't think they're hitting their heat to turn that green. But man, the fairways were in solid shape. They weren't perfect carpet, but I thought they were pretty good. The greens were great. A little grainy on that day, I noticed, that maybe some of the other days.
The trees were hard. I was getting nice bounces off of them.
They were firm, but my dad always says, "Oh, they don't have big greens." I actually thought they had decent sized greens. They a couple tougher pins. I thought overall the whole six rounds we had some really tough pin locations on what seemed like every day.
I would say that
some of the par threes or even some of the smaller par five greens when you're coming into just pockets on the green. But
nothing,
I know I played
nothing
pretty
beats,
well.
Nothing beats. Last round of the week, that Wild Wing pin placement that was all the way on the back of that green, that double green.
It was like in the middle in a bowl. That was, I mean, and that's another course that I think if we knew a little bit more about the second time, you're like, okay, that makes a lot more sense.
I mean, I literally hit a 5-iron to the green, and I wish I would have missed the green so I could have a wedge in my hand.
I did too. I think I hit one where I looked like I was like right next to it, maybe like 10, 15 feet, and I was 40 feet up and down a hill through some rough spots that were hurting me. We'll get the Wild One because I actually really enjoyed that course as well too. But I thought Barefoot looked good. I know I played my own ball pretty well, but we had I think it was called a 3-2-1 competition where we're 3-3-somes.
It was kind of a cool format, I would say. Like your dad bringing that to the table is actually pretty cool. Like,
I mean,
when you said 3-2-1, I was like, all right, what does it mean? And then like when he explained it, I was like, actually,
yeah,
that actually makes pretty cool sense. I was like, you know, they did not always end up on a par three. They didn't always end up on a par five, and it was.
I liked it too.
Everybody had to stay in it.
I remember after the first hole, I was like, man, I wish this was a 1-2-3. I think overall, you all won. I don't remember what it was. You were like 33 or 34 over, maybe 32.
They were 31 or 32, something like that.
31, 32. We were closer to like the 35, 36. And I think the other group were right around where we were. But, you know, that was a fun round. I thought it was a great little warm-up round. Got to play the whole ball all the way through. I think that was one of the few rounds I kept my own score the whole time. And I was right there in the 70s. I think I shot 76 or 77, but I came in with like three out of four little bogeys. But, man, it was a good course. 18 was very difficult there, the water up the whole left side. But that's when the fun started. So I think from there, we went and checked in, got ourselves cleaned up, and we headed the pop. Well, before we headed the pop strip, we had everybody into our room. And we were able to give out our swag bags, which I don't know about you, but I got rave reviews about everything.
Together. I got nothing but positive reviews from everybody saying how much they liked everything they got.
Yeah, I think they were a little shocked. They didn't quite know what to expect because I kind of told them we had something for them, but hopefully we blew them away a little bit. And, I know I got a lot of them already talking about what we could do next year and different things. So that was pretty cool. But from there, we went to Pop Stroke. Had a good time. I don't think
you hated on my green pants the entire time.
I wouldn't say I hated the whole time. You got a little dressed up for yourself to go hang out with a bunch of guys.
Green pants and it was green pants and a Fairway Fit hoodie.
Green jacket, gold jacket.
But
no, I think Pop Stroke, the only thing it was missing was a little bit of warmer weather. I think it got chillier on us rather quick, and a couple guys were pretty cold. But
luckily, I had my hoodie on.
I tell you what, other than that, I don't know if it was good to warm up on those putting greens because they were lightning quick. The turf there,
you could putt through the sand there too.
You could putt through the sand, but it was almost like on 6 or 7 foot putts, you were hitting them 6 inches, and they would roll out to the holes. And then the next day, it was a little bit different on the golf course, but. I know I like Pop Stroke, thought the food was fine, just exactly what we needed, had some good drinks, had some good time, got back, kind of got to bed a little bit in between late and early, and got ourselves ready for the next day. And it was go time. I mean, the guys were already kind of talking about it. Well, we still were one guy short, but we did have word that he was coming in the morning, and I know I had my fingers crossed to make sure he got there. But everything was good. So went to bed, woke up, got a little workout in.
We should talk about, I lost my 5-iron on Fazio because.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Dude, I'm telling you, like, I literally spoke it into existence. I looked at it in my bag and I was like, ah, that ferrule's starting to separate. And literally I hit it probably two times. And on the third time I hit it and had that boom, and the head flew off of it, probably 20 yards in front of me. Ball went great, straight. Sure. I was still in, you know, good shape. It's not like I like shanked it or anything, you know. But maybe, you know, it twisted, the face closed as I was swinging.
So maybe the separation wasn't the ferrule coming up. It was actually the head.
The head, maybe it might have been flipping off. Because, I mean, I tried pushing it down and it wasn't moving in the beginning of the round. And then, you know, I couldn't get it to PGA Superstore closing at 7 in April. Just baffles me. I figured like, oh, this is a quick fix. I'll go there right now and I'll get it fixed and I'll have it by tomorrow. I'll have it fixed for tomorrow.
I mean, especially this is peak season.
Yeah,
I mean,
you think spring break.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was a little shocked on that. We kind of got in a tough spot because I think you got it there later and it wasn't able to pick it up. Luckily, hopefully you weren't into any 5-round iron situations where you could have just.
I muscled up on a 6-iron a couple of times and I laid off a 4-hybrid every once in a while. But
okay,
first time I hit it after I got it back, I smoked it.
Yeah. I believe in that one time I hit a long, long time ago. I had one of those like $15 wedges from Walmart because that was what my budget allowed. And I remember hitting one like that and the club just went. I'll be honest with you, I didn't even get it fixed. It was just one of those.
No, you didn't want, I mean, it's $3.99 to fix that thing.
I think back then it was a lot harder to get stuff.
I think they misrung that up too. Cause I mean, it was $3.99 to fix my club. Feel like it should have been more than that, but thanks guys at PGA Superstore.
Just for time, right?
I mean, you would think.
I mean, it probably takes at least
30 minutes.
To clean it and everything. You're saying probably 15, 20 minutes to clean it, set it, make sure it's set, and then you just put it up until it gets picked up. I guess after that, but hey, you got a deal. Maybe they're running spring break special and all the broken irons.
Maybe they just saw I had a Fairway Fit hat on and they were like, you know what? We're trying to get in with them. You know, maybe we get a sponsorship by PGA Superstore.
I do laugh because every time we go in there, of all the three of them, Tatum always comes up to me. It's like, yeah, well, maybe one day, maybe your guy's stuff will be in here.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice.
It would be.
I mean, I will tell you this. Like, I was the person that walked into every single clubhouse, and when I'd see Bad Birdie or, you know,
Waggle
or any of those like Roback and like those type things, be like, oh, that'd be cool one day to walk into a clubhouse and see your own stuff there. But, you know,
we'll get there. We'll get there. So let's talk. So Friday it was day one. We're down there. The alarm hit early. I know you start moving around a little before I do, but then I got up, knocked out of mine, moved pretty good pace. And then you put
8:17, baby.
What was it?
8:17.
8:17. All right. And then you put me through a pretty decent, good little mobility warm up type thing. Got ourselves showered and cleaned up and headed to the course. Everybody was up, moving around a little bit. And we headed, I think we went about, no, Palmetto was a little bit closer. So we were about 10 minutes away. We're able to get to the golf course. Plenty of time. I think we all even kind of maybe hit a couple balls to warm up.
I hit like five or six.
Yeah, I think every day I stole one from Billy. I said, Billy, just leave me 3 to 5 balls. But he was grinding. He was there early getting himself ready. And then we were off. Everybody showed. We headed over to the first tee of Palmetto. This was our best ball format. And I actually wrote this all down. It was Ernie and Brian from Team Ernie. And then myself and Billy from Team Billy that went all first. The group behind us was you and Tim for Team Ernie, and then Anthony and Nick for Team Billy. I will say, I don't know if out of all the holes we played, I'm not sure if we had four straighter tee shots than the first four tee shots hit for the fairway for Fit Cup. All four of us split the fairway right down the middle, either 3-wood or driver. And it stayed that way.
No, it was pretty solid.
But I mean, the start of the round, to start the round, it was like, all right, we're serious, we're go time. And played pretty well for myself. I was out in that first group with Billy, taking on Ernie and Brian. And actually, it was probably one of my better rounds. Again, I didn't keep our over-under scores or anything, but we ended up taking that match 3-2. Ended it quite early. Really no big highlights in the round. I did end up getting a couple birdies on the front nine. I know that was huge. In our four ball, the right four ball format, which is the best ball format, that is where we played, where both scores counted. And so I know Brian played solid, like he did the most, and you'll probably hear us say that a lot. Ernie, I think that was one of Ernie's first few rounds of the year, if not the first round of the year. And he was good, bad, up and down. He could not get himself going, which left a little bit on Brian. And Billy was solid as solid could be. I would say pretty close to probably one of the more solid golfers even on the whole weekend.
Oh, I agree. Rock solid.
Between me and him, we rolled. Never really got it that close. Got up, and then, like I said, we got the first point on the board. And then you were on fire. Or you and Tim were on fire right about behind us. Tell us about that.
I mean, we lost the very first hole, bad beyond belief. And I was like, oh boy, we're in for a day. And then Tim actually just went on fire. Like I couldn't keep up with Tim. Tim played, I think, 7 or 8 holes straight at 2 under. After tripling the first hole, technically he quadded it, but triple was max. He played the rest of the front nine at 2 under, and it was
it was
impressive.
What was impressive was his pants.
His mermaid pants were pretty solid.
The mermaids were basically led him through to victory there, because the day before Tim was on my team. And in the 3-2-1 format, we shot better than Tim's individual score.
Oh, no. We got all his bad shots out with you guys.
Got him out of the way. But you guys won 7-5 or 7-6. I'm not
7-6.
Sure.
7-6. And then we just continued to play in the rest of the way.
100%.
I think we were messing around and joking, smoking and joking. And then I think Anthony and Nick technically made it, I don't know, 3 by the end or something like that. But
they kept it going. Yeah.
Yeah. We kept it going. But
no, that was good. That was a good little warm up. I know everybody seemed to be playing pretty well on that day. And then we headed in for lunch right there at Myrtle Wood, right there on the Intercoastal Highway. I thought the course was in phenomenal shape for the Palmetto. It was kind of similar to the Fazio course the day before, but had its own little quirks. I think if you had to rank them in order, I think Fazio was probably maybe just a tad bit in front of it. But greens were in good shape. I thought the course played very well. It's pretty much exactly as spot on what I was hoping for the first day. So we stayed at Myrtle Wood and moved into round two, where we went to our shamble format. We moved over to the Pine Hills golf course. Now, this was a golf course that I actually thought I never played before, but the more we got around, I do remember playing it about 10, 12 years ago with my brother and one of his friends from college. So actually played better that round than I played in this round. But I did start to remember the quirky par 5. That was like a hard turn left.
Yeah. Along the condos.
Well, that was the one that turned right. And then on the next one, turned left. Like it was.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I got you. And got a little pond down there.
That's where I still realized, like, man, I have been here. And, in the max two, we had in the first grouping, it was Ernie and Tim versus myself and Anthony. And then in the second match, the second tee time of match two was Brian, yourself, and then Greg and Billy. I know I was out early first.
Nick and Billy.
Nick and Billy. I'm sorry. Did I say something wrong?
Well, you said Brian and yourself and then Greg and Billy.
No. Brian and
split myself in half, and I played both.
Right. So Brian and Greg and versus Nick and Billy. So I know in the first round, we actually played it all the way to the 18th hole. Anthony and I were up, and we kind of just, I wouldn't say we fumbled it, but they kind of came back at us. It was kind of more like we got up 2 or 3 with like 4 or 5 to play, and we tried to play not to lose instead of just to go out and win it. And
step on the throats.
We're both coaches, so we've probably said that more than our fair share of times to our athletes. So, but we were able to pull it off on 18. Anthony and I split the, or one of us split the fairway. I think both of us split the fairway. We were both on the green, and Tim and Ernie had struggled on that. So we were able to take that match. And behind us, you had Brian, Steady Eddie, the guy who just, although he says he doesn't hit all the fairways, I think all the rounds I played with him, he hit every fairway. And you guys played Nick and Billy. I don't remember that score, but I want to say you guys were like 4-3.
Yeah, I think we're either 3-2 or 4-3. One of those where we went up. It's kind of back and forth all along the front nine. Kind of like, I don't believe we were ever down at any point.
Yeah.
Actually, it might have been another one of those where we went down in the beginning, like maybe two, and then just came barreling back, and then.
Yeah, I thought you guys
never gave the lead away.
You either ended it.
Ended it on that par three.
On the par, yeah, so 17. You ended up actually on 17.
Well, actually, we might have ended it right before that and then just.
The drivable par four is where I thought you guys ended it. And then you followed us in on 17 and 18. So that would have been maybe 16. Maybe 16. Maybe so. But yeah, so you guys played really well. Again, can't say
I had to show out for my partner.
he's a good partner to have. Anthony played very well for us. It was a lot of fun to play with. I thought Tim and Ernie battled. They had in match play, they had some big holes where they both kind of blew up, but they definitely kept it in it. And that was a good format. It was a good format, the shamble where we both drive and then play our own ball in. We'll talk about some changes that we might make later on, but I think that was a good one. We did have the hiccup where we were allowing strokes until we remembered that stroke was actually not something that we were allowing in that format. And once we cleared it up, it didn't seem to be any big scuttle. I wish I caught it earlier, but we're not perfect. We still messed up. So we ended the day. We both won a match. Both teams won a match in each of the match rounds, and then so we ended the day 2-2, which we couldn't ask for better. And then we headed to a really nice, fine establishment, and really, really enjoyed ourselves. Got a little, I could tell myself I got a little carried away that night more than the other nights. I may have made a bet that, some people can say it was a stupid bet. I'll say now it was a stupid bet. At the moment, I was locked in. We kind of
you were in prime trash talking mode, and you were supreme confidence too when you made that.
I know. It's what it is. I had to get. What the bet was. I was with Nick, and Nick has probably never been in the night low 90s, and I went ahead and just made the bet that I was going to help him shoot in the 80s. We were going to break 90. And then as the night went on and maybe I got a little feel better the next day, I started to realize that I need to fudge this a little bit in order to get to that. And I still was not just, it didn't happen.
There might've been some gamesmanship that night. I mean, I kept Nick up a little bit later than his bedtime and just kept on feeding him a little bit, but whatever.
But yeah, so match three comes out. We headed to Man of War, which was about just under 15 minutes away, which with Man of War was a little funny. When we jumped out of the car, we spelt that fire and smoke, almost like a bonfire.
And fog.
It was like a dense fog, but it was some sort of haze. And we asked the starter, and they said that is actually from the Myrtle Beach fires that been put out for about a month, but they say every morning they get that haze. But beautiful course. I mean, that was the one.
I didn't like that course. Man of War was awesome.
Man of War was awesome. Like, I was a lot of people said that it's kind of corny with all the water. I actually didn't think it was. Like, even though there was water on pretty much every hole, I still thought you had solid landing spots if you hit the ball where you wanted to. And I still thought you could hit a ton of drivers and not really just be completely scared to lose everything. Off the ground. And
as bad as I played on that course, I would go back and play that course in Harvard.
That was fun. That was actually a lot of fun. And so match three took off. You No, I'm sorry. Billy and Anthony versus Brian and Tim went out in the first round or the first tee time there. And I know they played, it was best ball. It was a four ball format. And they did really well. It seems like they played all the way to the 18th green. And if I remember them telling us, because we were behind them, Billy lipped out a winning putt on 18 to have the match. But if you remember, I think we might have been done with our math, but we were watching them on 17 and we saw the huge Tiger fist pump from Billy that I think took that hole to basically make the match halved going into 18. So it gave them back the chance to win. So that was a lot of fun to see. And, you know, when it came down to it, I know when me and you came up with this idea and changing these formats and doing all this stuff, and we met with Billy and Ernie. If you remember the time we met, there was a little bit of reluctancy from them to try to do all this. And they kind of thought it was like, oh, we don't need to do this. We need to just go play golf.
Yeah.
And I will say both of them came up to me and said, this is awesome. Like the feelings and emotions they were getting at the end of the matches. And I told both of them, I was like, that's exactly what Greg and I wanted. Like, we've been a part of something, you know, you've been that little extra, but we've been a part of competition our whole life. We love the team aspect in anything we do. Just to have those nerves as a, let's be honest, an average to below average golfer, to have those nerves on 16, 17, and 18 to mean something to go play for is exactly what we were looking to do.
I mean, on Pine Hills, I could hear you three holes away at times.
Yeah, I was getting out of hand on that one. I drove over the green on the par four, but yeah, that was, I didn't do that all the time. That was just that one where I was feeling good. When I get with Anthony, we know there's always trouble. He seems to keep it a little bit looser and keep us moving, but they ended up having, and this was the round where we had to play the bet. And although I lost the bet,
you won the war.
I won the war. The war, the man of war, right? I did win the match. I believe I won it on that par three. We went 2-1 overall because I think we went up 2 with one to play.
Yeah,
to make it 2-1. So,
which is shocking because me and Ernie did not play well at all that day.
We didn't, and I don't think I didn't score tremendously well. I think if I took all six rounds in my head, I kind of felt like there was three rounds I was definitely in the 70s, and then there was three rounds that I was right between 80 to 82, 83, 84 type frame. And so, and if I had that one, because that was the best ball one, I feel like if I remember that one, I was right around that 80, 81 mark that through it. But, you know, obviously with us taking our hammers and whatnot, I didn't record
a single round except for the Fazio course.
Yeah, that was kind of what I did. But the best ball you did because you had to keep to some degree. But as far as recording it, great.
Yeah, I didn't record it on my again at all.
No. So, but yeah, we were able to hold on. I don't think both of you played very well, but you did kind of ham and egg a little bit
with
the best ball format, which I think kept you guys in it. And I do believe. Nick and I both parred one hole, and then I think he had another net par later on. But after that, it was 18 in my scores, but it was fun. He kept it fun and entertaining, and I loved it. He was a blast to play with. I do remember. I think it was the first hole.
He's there for the golf. He just loves playing golf.
I think the first hole. It took like 5 to get to the green and down in 3.
That was a bogey net par.
And I think both of me and you caught eyes and it was like, okay. And then you looked at me, you're like, no. I was like, I got it.
Because I immediately knew you were going to be like, well, that was a bogey net par. He's going to shoot 89 today.
I actually don't think I gave him that one, but he could have. He needed
you
more
did. Than just you, that you, one. You gave him a 7 net 6, I think.
I think that one I gave him 8.
It would have been
7.
Oh, maybe
there
it was.
There was later on. There was later on where I finished the hole, and I think he was on the green for bogey, and I just said, you know, just pick that up. Oh, bogey net par. Yeah, we're good. We're good to get on that. But I knew it was going to be close coming down, and I think he didn't register the last two scores, and he was right around the 95 mark without two holes. So I was trying. I just couldn't get it there. And, you know, I paid my bet and lost a little bit of money. It is what it is. I'll earn it back later on. But so through three matches, I mean, you know, after day two, I think, or day one, two matches, we were 2-2. Through three matches, it ended up being 3.5 to 2.5. Team Billy won and half won, and then you guys have the one match. And then at that time, we headed over to, no, we got free lunch. That was a nice little setup. I was
two hot dogs, two beers.
Wasn't expecting that. Free lunch and a couple drinks. And then we headed to match four, which we actually had to drive to probably a whole 2 minutes because they weren't even 300 yards apart, but they were actually separate clubhouses. I didn't know that this was set up. So, but no big deal. It was a piece of cake to get to.
Because we got there and they handed us another free lunch.
That was solid. I needed that around the 11th, the 12th hole of that round. I was, again, enjoying my extracurriculars.
Yeah.
Enjoying my high nudes. Yeah. I can't say. Had three cases going down, came back with zero. So it wasn't all me, but it was enough. And then the fun started. This is where we got to the 666 format, where we played six shamble alternating shot, which I actually really liked that. I was glad we did that. And then we ended with a scramble, which I was actually really glad we did that too. I was a little hesitant on doing a scramble, but I think it was the perfect time.
Yeah, I think it was the perfect time.
The fourth round.
That was about when I was starting to get overserved.
Yeah, we were a little bit on the tired side. Overserved, that's one way to put it. We were on the tired side. We were enjoying ourselves and a lot of fun. And with Anthony's help, Anthony, I think, really did.
He dialed
a lot of the talking. He did a lot of the talking from our get together 2 weeks prior. He started the rumblings and talking. And then I think with him and Brian sharing a flight on the way down, he was calling Brian.
He's the chirper.
And he wanted to go. He was ready to go. He had his, what pants did he have on that day? It was the Hulk Hogan pants on day one. Did he have his American flag pants on day two?
Yes. The American flag with the Eagles.
With the Eagles. And he was ready to go. And so 666 format, windy.
Wind
picked up.
Second round, the wind picked up. Yes.
The wind picked up really, really tough. The shamble format, I think you guys jumped out to a little bit of a lead.
Yeah. I barely missed my eagle putt and birdied the first one. So
yeah, you did. You went birdie, and then I think you went up, and then we halved it, and then we went up, then you halved it, and then I think we went up, then you halved it, and then after six holes, we were all square, going into the alternate shot, and I'll be honest with you, me and Anthony, we won the match. Well, we got a comfortable lead in the alternating shot. I can't say we won the match. We'll talk about the moment that kind of crushed you guys a little bit in a second. But we played alternating shot one of. And I really don't think in the alternating shot, outside of one air tee shot by both of us, because it was a shamble to alternating shot, we really hit the ball well on that set. And I don't think you guys hit it poorly. I just think we were able to. We were rolling in some pars, and I think you guys missed a couple greens. And I don't think bogey ever won a hole. I think par won a hole.
We were also missing a good amount of putts.
Well, but
That was the day where Brian was just like, he was like, I can't make a putt.
Yeah, but that was the section, the day. That was the section. Because I think what happened is you guys were leaving yourself off the green, and when your chips were only getting about 8 or 9 feet,
yeah,
it just left you too much to bite off. I don't think. It's a whole different when he's rolling those in for birdie than when he's rolling it in for those pars or whatnot. So,
right.
But we were able to take a little bit of lead. I think we were three up at one point. I think we got the three up, and we might have had the last of that section, and then we went into the scramble, and then it was like we were just kind of like we said earlier, we were trying not to lose. But then again, I think you guys went. I think you played the last six holes.
Well, he went eagle.
Yeah, you played the last six holes in either 4 or 5 under.
Yeah,
under par.
Because we used
Well, he went eagle.
He self-eagled on the first scramble hole because he chipped in.
Because he chipped in for about 70 yards. That was probably the shot of the weekend, if you really think about it.
And then the next one, I think we...
You made eagle on the par five. I don't know who hit the approach.
I think that was one drive that I actually got a hold of and was straight.
Your drive. And he hit it to the back of the green, and then you or him rolled it in.
Right.
For probably about 30 feet. Actually, he rolled it in because he said, let me putt first.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'll just give you the line because you were putting it well, and he ended up rolling it in. And we made birdie on that hole. I mean, it wasn't like we did a lot of things wrong on that one. And I think I hit after he holed out, we still took shots to hold out. And I think I didn't hit it really that bad of a shot. So we probably would have made par, at least on that par four. So we just got beat on that stretch. And then the big one came up.
17.
I actually think it was 15. And here's why. Because I think you guys were eagle birdie, but we matched you on that birdie. And it was 15 because I went way right. He hit a good ball. I went way right, trying to hit too much club, not too much club, trying to hit too hard. And we were on the edge of the fringe, remember? Because I drove up to make sure he was fine.
Yeah,
he was fine. Right. I hit it to let's just say 19 feet. You were 19 feet, 6 inches or on your all's approach shot. You rolled a putt in. And I remember looking at Anthony and going, dude, it just went eagle, eagle, birdie. We need to hold on here because this could be a long stretch. And then Anthony rolled it in right on top of yours.
Yeah,
it
was dagger.
And that really was kind of like, I wouldn't say it was a dagger because
it just killed the momentum.
It did. Because I think if we miss that, before we know it, it's an all square match. And it's just really who makes the first mistake.
Right.
And we were able to hold on. We played that one. I think we played a par three. We both parred. We played another par four, par three, then we ended up on the par four. And Brian had a really, really good look on 18. Maybe just a little bit too much pace. I didn't see if it hit and bounced out or it lipped and bounced out, but just maybe a little bit too much pace. Didn't fall. And Anthony and I were able to take away. I do remember being on 17 because that was the par three that I think we both lacked it up pretty close to tap in. You guys, I think he just maybe missed the putt on that one as well, too. And we were like, oh my gosh, we at least stole half a point because we were up, right? And you guys came back and fought really hard, and we got a half a point out of that. And then on 18, I think we ended up stealing it a little bit and with the half of that hole, thinking that maybe you guys were going to burn it because you were only like 65, 70 yards.
It was 67, if I remember exactly.
I think we were like 85, and I even had a mulligan. And I think I hit the fringe and bounce. I don't even think I hit the fringe. I think I was just right of it, but I was pin high. And I was like, I'll take another one. And I hit just a poo-poo shot, and it just went fiery. But Anthony was already on the green.
I know I took a mulligan on that hole, and I went shorter than I was, but I was still above the hole, and that it was just a slide.
Well, that was what Man of War and the Wizard were. If it was a front pin placement, I don't think you could get the ball close.
No.
Because if you hit the green, it was bouncing another 10, 15, 20 feet by. No matter how it kind of spin, you were not bringing anything back. Those greens were really hard. They bounced through. So we were able to win that one. And then behind us, that was Billy, Nick, Ernie, and Tim. And I want to say Billy and Nick were also able to win that 2-1, if I remember correctly. And that really was really, really key for the match. Because that would have made it really close. But we ended the day at 5.5 and 2.5. But that was huge. Being able to take that day, basically, we were 3.5 to 1/2 on the points. That ended up being a pretty big one going into singles the next day. So, but I tell you what, Wizard and Man of War, top notch.
Oh, yeah. I think that basically those two courses grouped together. I mean, you take the wind out of those courses would be so fun to play. Now, granted, like the wind, even with the wind on Man of War, we dealt with a little wind on Man of War, but
It was sort of the end.
Both courses, I think I would love to go back and play a day of 36 holes there.
So in a perfect world, I would have switched the courses. I would have played the Wizard first and then the Man of War second, just because it brought in the water a little bit more on some of those risk reward type scrambles where we could have tried to be a little bit more aggressive at times.
I could see that.
But in all, they were fun. They were a lot of fun.
I will say this though. Man of War was way busier than Wizard. It might have just been the afternoon.
I think that's morning, afternoon, quiet. But you're right. We almost had the Wizard all to ourselves. I don't think that was all too many other people. So, but that was a lot of fun. And then that night, we ended up going back, ordering some pizzas, and we were talking a lot about single. If you followed us along in our social media and everything, we did not set singles. We were kind of going to set it that night. And then we got into the singles format, and it was a good time. The setup was kind of similar to what they were thinking with all along. Brian and myself were going off in the first group. Anthony versus Greg, yourself in the second group. We did have a little bit of hiccup. We did unfortunately have a guy get pretty sick and kind of had the head home. It sounded like he got all the way up to about 103, 104 temperature. So he would have struggled just too much. We did make a kind of quick judgment or not quick adjustment to everything where we had a tiebreaker if needed. We didn't actually need to get to the tiebreaker, but we did have a kind of a 2-1 adjusted the hammers and everything. So Tim and Nick, I'm sorry, Billy and Nick took on Tim. All right, Billy and Nick took on Tim. So Team Billy threw Nick on there. They took on Tim right behind us. And the only thing that was unfortunate about the Sunday matches was
they got a little bit of rain.
Huh?
They were in front of us.
They were in front of us, but we got a little bit of rain.
Yeah. Rain was not fun. I don't like being wet.
And I thought it was going to be a little, and then it went away.
Yeah.
And then it came back. And then it went away. I would say about 6, maybe 7 holes off and on in the rain. Yeah.
I mean, I took off my jacket probably 3 different times. And then
I don't know how many times we dropped the cover on the clubs in the cart. It was kind of got annoying a little bit, but the matches were pretty solid. I thought they were fairly competitive most of the time, even when if somebody got up. I know in our match, Brian got up on me right away. I was able to cut into it, and they kind of just fell apart when we made the turn. I think Anthony kind of climbed away from you a little bit, but you fall.
I mean, he was 7 up at one point with like 8 to play, and then I somehow cut it down and was battling back, and then we have the hole when it was done.
He was right around that, and you guys cut it down, and I think he ended up winning 3-2 when it came down to it. But Brian ended up winning 5-4. He was up 3. With and then I was able to get it back down to 1, and then when we made the turn, it kind of just fell apart. He was steady, Eddie. That was probably one of his better rounds I've seen with him through the 14 holes until he put it away. He was 3-under on the day. I don't even really remember too many missed shots. So tip my hat to him. He played his butt off. Even if he had to get up and down. It was so rare. I don't remember him having to get up and down a lot. I battled. I was able to use my hammers at the right time, but I think even when I used them and to save a par, he threw a birdie in on me.
No, because the one that you hit out of the sand trap that you used a mulligan and hit it to close, that actually won you the hole.
That was the one. That was where I was able to win that one. I won the next hole, which got it from 3, I was down 3 to just being down 1. And then when I made the turn, I just didn't have it. Did not have the driver that day. Hit the driver really well all weekend until that final round. I kind of got real spinny off the tee, a lot of cuts. Anthony held on for dear life. He kept telling me every time he got the cart, do I need to use one now? Do I need to use one now? I go, when he uses one, you use one. Just play him straight up the rest of the way. And I think overall, you guys actually probably played pretty equivalent as far as score. He just was able to win some holes that you struggled on and then and go from there. But it was a tough one. The raid was really tough. I don't know. What do you think of the round?
I thought that course was really nice for some stretches and then mediocre for other ones. Like, I feel like, you know, the starting first three holes were awesome. The finishing three holes were pretty cool and whatnot. And then I felt like almost like we were just at like a regular course that you would see in Massanutten or Williamsburg or anything for like the middle 10 holes.
The one thing, it wasn't a very beachy course.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I didn't feel like I was at a beach course.
But they had some nice holes. They had some really tough greens. I thought the greens are pin placements more than anything. Not only on that par three, but they had a couple in the par five where it really kind of like it was a giant green and they came to a point and they stuck it in the point. It had some tough spots there. Greens were a little bit slower. The water made them even slower. So yep. I think picking up green pace was a little bit tougher. But in front of us, Billy and Nick ended up losing to Tim. I want to say that was like a 3-2 match. I don't have it exactly. But that was good enough. We knew going into the round, you guys had to sweep us to win it. I think it was a 3-1.
I officially lost the fairway cut.
Yes, it is right here behind me. The fairway cup is right where it started.
Has it been washed?
It was twice, actually. I thought about taking it apart because it was quite a bit that got into it. I'll have to figure out some stuff for next year. But yeah, so Team Billy is our first fairway cup winner at a 7-5 score.
Well done, Captain Billy.
He did. And he got into it. You know, it was funny.
100% he did.
He, even though he'll tell you he wasn't, he's like, I'm probably the least competitive person out here. And I was like, You are exactly why I wanted you to be captain. You were into it. He wanted to make the picks, the selections. You know, if we were able to expand this the next year, he's definitely coming back as a captain before. But let's talk about things that work well. What went well? What went bad? What would we change? Let's talk formats. What do you think of all the formats? We like them? Adjustments? What do we want to do?
I like the 666. I like the shambles. And like, did we do a full on scramble for one round?
No, we did not.
I would say maybe for some of them, maybe do the scramble for one round to replace the second best ball. That might work a little bit better, but just it all depends on the skill sets of the players there too. I mean, now granted, another thing I would change is that I would bring a better golf game with me. But basically, you know, other than that, I think that the formats were competitive. Really, it was just we kind of dropped the ball on the afternoon round and in the second day.
Yeah, I think when it comes out to it, the only two things, one thing I would change was on best ball, when we're doing stroke hammers, I would count both scores. On shamble, when we're not doing stroke hammers, I would take the low score from there. That would be my only change.
So you do a best ball. Well, then, I kind of like the shamble because then it keeps both players in it.
So, but I don't think you can do stroke when you're already basically giving them at least a half a stroke off the tee.
Well, that's true. Take the stroke. Like, well, it was in the rules anyways. It's just the fact that everybody forgot about it once.
So I agree. So when we do a stroke, we have to take both scores. So in the best ball format, I think you take both scores, not just one score. We took one score. In the shamble format, I think you take one score, but you don't allow them to take stroke, which was in the rules. I think you switch that up. And what that does is it allows you guys, it allows everybody to be a little bit more aggressive, a little more free to take that front tee. Because you remember at Gents Cup, I feel like all we did was do front tee. Nobody took strokes. I think that's why, is because you take stroke when you're taking both scores. Right. So that keeps that person into the game a little bit more longer. So on a best ball, we take both scores, they're allowed a stroke. which still are. In the shamble, we only take maybe just the one score, or we can take both scores. I don't have a problem doing that, but I think that would be the one quick adjustment I would do. If I would change, I would do adjustment wise. I like the best ball. I think we do 9-hole shamble, alternating shot, 9-hole scramble for that fourth round.
And that one wouldn't be bad. That wouldn't be bad.
And just take out the shamble that we've already done in the beginning.
Right.
Because I'll be honest, the alternating shot was a lot of fun. Not just because we played well, but that was...
You had to think your way through it.
You got to figure it out. Especially if you both had two good shots. And you and Brian, both, multiple times, I think one time you all chose the shot. I was shocked because me and Anthony thought you guys were in the bunker. But then later on, you told us you actually weren't in the bunker.
No, we were right above it.
And then there was one other time, I think you all kind of switched, that maybe somebody had each other by like 3 or 4 yards. And they ended up taking the other one. But that would be the only thing, that two things that I would change. And then I guess maybe on the days, I would start it on a Thursday, end on Saturday, and let's have a fun night on Saturday.
Yeah,
night
that would be good. I feel like almost like, this sounds bad. You can't enjoy yourself as much on the last round because you know you get a 7-hour drive right after.
100%. And we knew that. We kind of knew that. And we and you did talk about, hey, but we're like, hey, this is just what fits. And
right. Exactly.
We ended up just fitting in an extra round beforehand. So instead of having the extra round, let's just go ahead and start.
Yeah. Be done at one, go sit at the pool and talk trash and drink out of a cup.
Yeah. And like I think my overall dream when that would be to have like almost like a champion's, really a champion style dinner where we go to a nicer place.
Chicken tenders and
half a cup chicken tenders, but just a nice chicken tenders, not just your regular one. So but you know, I do have over everyone's records. You want to hear everybody's records for the weekend?
Not really, because I know mine.
All right. So Team Ernie, Brian went 2-2-1.
Really?
Ernie went 0-4. You went 2-3.
Yeah.
Tim went 2-2-1. On Team Billy, I went 4-1. Billy went 2-2-1. Anthony went 3-1-1. And Nick went 2-3. So we're not going to go all the way through like they do in the Ryder Cup and give everybody grades. But I think for the first time,
I'd give myself a minus.
The only thing that was kind of weird to me, just because obviously it was more in my head than everybody, but a lot of people were like just not clear with everything. And I'd really just think that was just because it was the first year for a lot of them. So as we get more and more along.
Maybe night one, we have a rules meeting at
Pop Stroke. Could have been. I kind of, you know, I thought people would read the emails a little bit more.
But nobody, RTFM. Nobody does.
I should have known better. And it's a little on me. Like I said, I even got myself messed up a little bit on that one deck. Cause I even told you, I was like, once we get down here, I just want to enjoy it and not worry about all the decision making. I think we did a good job with it when it came down to it. But let's talk awards or superlatives.
Right? I like superlatives.
I'm gonna name out a superlative and we're gonna give each other who do you think earns that honor. And the first one, I think we're both going to have the same one. There's one that was close, but I think the both are going to sound best dressed on the weekend.
Anthony. Second is Tim.
Second was
Tim. Tim had some solid pants, but Anthony blows it out.
Anthony. And I think that's because when he's not dressed up, it's just sweatpants. So,
yes.
So best dressed goes to Anthony. Best trash talker.
It might be Anthony as well.
Silently, I think it's Anthony because he doesn't raise his voice when
he
does
it very passively. He's a passive trash talker.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always cut deep, but it just it's a chirp in your ear for like 18 holes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that award can probably be switched on every year, especially if we start bringing a couple more people. I think we'll get more people that'll leave it. I would say it was kind of a calmer trash talking event than I thought it could have been.
Judging from what I could hear from 2 holes away or 300 yards away, on round 2 at Pine Hills, I mean, you might have been up there in the running at times.
Yeah. Me and Anthony got, I mean, I made Anthony take control again. We both got loud, and we were definitely celebrating on the green a little bit. So let's do this one. Luckiest golfer. Who do you think was the luckiest golfer? It's a tough one.
I'm going to say Nick. Lucky pairings. It was just paired with people that would bring him along, teach him the line, tell him what to do. I mean, hell, on hole number one, you were giving him a 12-minute lesson on how to hit a punch shot out of the trees.
12 minutes? Come on, dude.
It seemed like 20 seconds, at least 10 minutes.
It was because it was his fourth shot to get to the tree.
Exactly, but he still carded a bogey on that hole.
Net par. I would have to say, you know, and there when I coached for,
I don't want to say Tim, just because he supposedly came in as like, you know, a vibes person, like a person that doesn't play golf a lot, and you know is there.
Oh, he's all in now.
But like legitimately, like I would say, like he lucked out that he brought his A game down to the beach with him and fired out.
He did. You know, I used to work, coach basketball with a pretty highly successful coach in the county, and we both know him very well. And he used to have the sign in our locker room: the harder you work, the luckier you are. And I'm going to go ahead and give Brian the luckiest, because my man hits trees. He will hit some trees, but a lot of those balls get kicked into the fairway. And a lot of everybody else's either go straight down or into a bad spot. And there was a lot of times.
He's going to tell you one. And he's going to tell you a two-word response to that. Snell magic.
And I think that even fires me up a little
He
bit.
Handed the guy me had snell, beat he, right before the first round. He was like, you know what you need for this round? And I was snell. Like, what's up? And he was like, here you go. And tosses you one. And he goes, well, snell magic.
Did you like them?
I thought they were decent.
They're very Bridgestone-y to me. They look like.
Yeah, they do. And like the snell kind of reminds me of Kirkland.
Yeah.
But, you know, because I always kept on looking down at the ball, and I was like, is he playing a Kirkland? I'm like, no, it's a snow.
All right, so we got two more for us. Let's go with most improved golfer over the weekend.
From round one to
round one,
Tim. Hands down, Tim.
Yeah. And I think early on, I think you guys heard us say that in the first round, Tim did not. He enjoyed barefoot, but not necessarily for scoring purposes. And for him to come back the next day and be basically even through nine holes, that's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So he was able to take our most improved goes to Tim. And then I guess overall, who would be our MVP golfer?
Well, if you ask Nick, Nick is going to say Nick.
Nick was a self-proclaimed. We'll add a picture of him here.
Nick was self-proclaimed, but I might have to go with Anthony. Anthony came up big at moments and you know, kind of sealed the cup for you guys. If you want to look at it like that, between the putt that he made on day two in the second round, that right on top of mine, that basically sealed at least a half a point for you guys. And then basically beating me in the singles. I mean, you gotta toss him up, give him credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
I mean, he pretty much swept awards. He's walking away handful right now.
I would have gone with Billy. I actually thought
Billy for being the captain, golf. he put everybody on his back and he played lights out for.
Yeah, I know his record too. His record went 2-2-1, but kind of got handcuffed a little bit on the last round. But yeah, I think overall he played probably better than he even thought he was going to play over a longer stretch there. So I would have gone.
He probably sealed the deal that his wife is probably going to let him keep his sim membership. So
nice, yeah.
He's probably going to keep that up.
So, but yeah. So first fairway fit in the Bucks. Can't wait for next year. Got a lot of interest. People who. You know, maybe if anyone wants interest, leave some comments below and let us know if you're interested. Let us know where you think we should go. Courses down in Myrtle. We kind of like that Myrtle Beach area. There's just so many choices.
And it's warm. And it's warm.
It's warm. We got a little help with the condo as well, too. So that's awesome. Leave some comments below, some places that you think would be great to play. With 90 courses down there, we always think we can at least, I mean, I don't mind playing courses for another time, but there's definitely some rounds we can always find some new places to play. But before we leave off here, before we sign off, we got something going on in 2 days. Are going back to major number one. Well, we are going back to head-to-head. We have an 18-hole match play major number one. All right. Are we ready for this?
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that I bring a little magic to the course that day, and I'm hoping that basically the grip change kind of fixes little instances that were causing me a lot of heartache this weekend or this past weekend.
I was trying to get out today to hit balls, but I didn't quite get over to hit balls today. And it wasn't warm. It was a little bit colder than I thought it was going to be. It definitely wasn't warm. But yeah, so we are 2 days away from major number one. We are going to come out just due to some logistic things, and Greg's helping me out a little bit. We're going to come out to my golf course here at Stoneleigh this Friday.
I mean,
we'll be able to knock it out.
The reigning major champion should probably bow down to, you know, those peasants, if you will.
We're going to try to fight off the weather. They are calling some weather. We do have a backup plan, but right now our plan is Friday. Tee it up for a match play. I know my handicap went up over the last couple rounds that I played. Hopefully yours went down over the last couple rounds you played.
Well, just remember, I scored one, and it was not a good one.
I scored one too, and it was 77, but it still went up. My handicap still went up. So okay. I'm right at four now. I think I'm like a 3.8 or 3.9.
Well, here, I didn't even want to look at it when they sent it to me on Monday. I'll do a live read here.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I'll pull up Grant and do a live read of my current handicap status.
I'm guessing 13.3.
Ooh, close. Didn't go up. 13.1. Stayed the same.
I think I was a 3.82. But I remember I had a really good round last time we talked. Dropped quite pretty low, and then I was able to. I was a little shocked. I thought my 76 or 77 at Fazio would have dropped it, but it didn't. It kept.
Yeah, you'd think.
Those courses surprise you. I think they actually don't slope or rate very high, even though I think they're a little bit more challenging than some of the courses we play up here. But yeah, can't wait for it. Major number one. We're back at it. Head to head. You're going to figure some stuff out. Hopefully I'm going to keep the ball in play and we'll go from there. Check back to us next week when we give you a update about major number one. And then of course, major number two is not far off as well.
Maybe I can finally start talking about my streak and actually have you not give me crap about it.
So I did look into that a little bit more. There's one, there's back-to-back, and then there's a streak. So you actually have to win three to have
no.
Just do your research. Do your research. Three makes a streak.
I don't know.
So back-to-back is not a streak. So three makes a streak. But anyway, next time we'll catch you on the 9th, 3, and 9, and we will hear about major number one.
Let's go.